crash at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport. Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, an Army veteran who flew Blackhawks, taking exception.
When you're out there trying to recruit more people to get them trained to become air traffic controllers, having the President of the United States question them and insult them is not the way that we actually grow more air traffic controllers.
On the investigation, a source with direct knowledge tells ABC News the flight data and cockpit voice recorders from the jetliner have been recovered. Jennifer Homendy chairs the National Transportation Safety Board.
We will look at all the humans that were involved in this accident. Again, we will look at the aircraft, we will look at the helicopter, we will look at the environment in which they were operating in. That is standard in any part of our investigation.
This is ABC News.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
From the WRCE Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The Beyond Blessed Pantry is a staple in Baraboo, supporting more than 3,000 households with food every month. The pantry is now in a new home thanks to community support. We reported over the last month or two that the pantry needed to relocate because the building's owner chose to not renew their lease. So what started as a potential relocation to Reedsburg in mid-December took an unexpected turn when a last-minute opportunity in Baraboo emerged. People immediately stepped up to help the pantry buy the new building, which opened Tuesday. For more information on services, visit the website at bbpantry.org. And if you saw something streak across the sky Tuesday night, it was not just you. People all over Wisconsin spotted it around 9 o'clock. It was a reddish color and had a long tail. It wasn't just us in Wisconsin who could see it either. There were people all over the Midwest who were taking photos, and things started to go crazy on social media with theories of what it could be. Well, staff from UW-Madison's Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences say it was a Starlink satellite re-entering the atmosphere. Starlink is the internet satellite company from Elon Musk. Those satellites stay in the sky a couple years, and then they burn up in the atmosphere when their service is finished. And these are dramatic temperatures for us to be feeling in January. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
As temperatures soar to feeling like spring today, records will be shattered statewide. Hitting highs in the 50s at the end of January is about 30 degrees above normal. So it's no surprise to hear that our Wisconsin winters have been getting shorter and shorter. A recent study says we're losing an average of 14 days of winter conditions each decade since 1995. And this is all due to rising air temperatures and climate change.
That's meteorologist Brittany Merlot reporting, and I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to WRCE 107.7.
Wisconsin loses to Maryland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers had climbed to the number 17th team ranked in the nation after a recent seven-game winning streak, but they ran into a hot Maryland Terrapins team that has now won four in a row after beating the Badgers 76-68. Badgers head coach Greg Gard after another Big Ten loss on the road.
Yeah, I didn't think we started the second half real well. The stretch where it got away from us, you know, we had three or four possessions in a row where we missed some pretty easy looks, so some of them point blank, some good looks from three, and then they were able to answer. I think it was 57-56 at one point, and then they hit back-to-back threes and got some separation.
The Badgers women's team snapped an eight-game losing streak with a win at home over Michigan, 82-75. Baseball, Wade Miley is no longer with the Brewers. The 38-year-old lefty has rejoined the Reds on a minor league deal worth $2.5 million and should be ready by May. Wade Miley recovering from Tommy John surgery with sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly cloudy sky tonight, a low near 30, and more sun and in the mid-40s for tomorrow. Some clouds on Saturday, high upper 30s, with some snow showers Saturday night. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs upper 40s. Right now it's 36.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recuses from the Act 10 case. Also, Wisconsin GOP lawmakers seek to require public schools to display "In God We Trust." Will that stop school shootings?
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays, 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As we kick off hour number two on Thursday night, the Christmas Eve of weeknights. Great to have you with me. It was great to talk to Rick Overton about Groundhog Day. Conrad, have you seen Groundhog Day?
Oh, many times.
Okay, I just realized we've been talking about it a little bit this week.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I've ever came out and asked you that, so that's good. Okay. Coming up at 7:20, Chris Opper and Kurt Krause will be in the studio talking about the Door County Film Festival, which is right around the corner. A charming little festival in a beautiful area of not only the state, but the country, Door County. And they're getting a lot more films being shot there too, which is interesting. We'll talk about that. Right now, we're going to turn our attention to weather. And one of my good friends who works for us and does a great job here at Civic Media doing the weather. You can also hear her contributions, and they are fantastic, to New Wisco Weekend here every weekend. She's top-notch. Brittany Merlot joins us now on the stream. Hey, Brittany.
Oh, thank you so much, Pete. How are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. I'm better now because I know I reached out to you this afternoon. It was kind of last minute. I know how busy you are, so I really do appreciate you taking the time. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I mean, warm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I know you're happy. I'm kind of sad. I like the winter weather. So this is like the worst case scenario for me. But I understand that a lot of people love this right now. And I don't blame them, because negative 45 degree wind chills, what, a week or two ago, and 100 degree temperature swing technically for feeling 50s and 60s today.
Where is it 50s and 60s today? We're in Northeast Wisconsin. I think it got up like to the high 40s. But did it get to 50s and 60s in other parts of the state?
You did. Actually, a lot of the Fox Valley was into the mid-50s highs today. I think Door County was in the upper 40s. I mean, places, even Shawnee hit 52 degrees.
No kidding. Yeah. I gotta get out more. So
you didn't even get out and enjoy this?
No, hey. It's so awful, Bri. Listen, I said at the top of the show, you and I are like the original odd couple, because you're the snow queen. And, you know, I don't really like really cold weather, but I'm happy. You know, I do have friends that are like you, that they can't get enough snowmobiling and winter activity, and they hate seeing winter go. So what have you been doing to enjoy this winter so far? And has it been difficult because of some of these warm patches?
It has been so difficult, to be honest with you. I hate this winter, and I hated last year's because I didn't get to go skiing. I didn't get to do anything. And those are the things that I love. I know snowmobile trails did open far north towards Hurley and into Ironwood, Michigan, but I wanted it out of my back door. I didn't want to travel to go do that. That's why I live here.
All right.
But I'm happy that Granite Peak makes snow. So at least we've got skiing downhill.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah.
Are you a good skier?
No.
No?
It has to be flat. Otherwise, I'm flailing down the hill.
Cross country. I've done cross country even, and I'm an inside guy. But tell us about, should we be freaked out? Like, we've got polar vortex 1 week. And then we got 50s in January, as you said, in the Fox Valley. I mean, that is crazy. What do you make of that, if anything?
I think you should be freaked out because I'm freaked out. I know other meteorologists are freaked out. We're all kind of scratching our head. Like, what is going on the past two winters?
yeah.
And trying to make sense of it. The first thing that I look at is, okay, is it El Nino, La Nina? All right. Well, we're in a La Nina advisory. So we're slowly pushing into that. So we really have none of those to consider at this point because it's in a transition phase.
Okay.
So then the next thing I look at is this Arctic oscillation. That is the stuff that holds the polar vortex. If it's in a positive phase, that means it's in a tight-knit circle and, you know, not too much is going on. But if it's in a negative phase, it gets wobbly and loose and sends historic snowstorms like the one that hit Florida, right?
Yeah. You know,
that's the last time it was in a negative phase. And now we're still well positive and we're going to slowly shift to negative as we go into February. So I do think that winter is around the corner here for us.
You think cold weather is on the way? More
snow,
okay.
And winter temperatures. I wouldn't say the brutal cold that we went through. We'll probably get another one of those, to be honest. But the snow, the actual precipitation, we need it. The farmers need it.
Yeah.
Outdoor rec needs it. Businesses do too.
Yeah, that makes you feel like someone like me. That makes you feel a little better about when we get it because we do need it, as you say. What about? Here's what I don't understand. I would say I have about an hour commute. Both ways. So oof. I would say over the last two or maybe 3 weeks, snow has come out of nowhere. It's not on my Apple app. It's just all of a sudden I told Conrad, I think it was Monday night, I'm in whiteout and it lasted 20 minutes, but the roads around here are so horribly marked with reflectors and everything. I couldn't see where I was going. It was awful. And it wasn't predicted at all. What is that about?
Are you by the lake? Are you by the water?
Well, yeah, we're by Green Bay. Sure.
Yeah, so my favorite phenomena is happening. That's lake effect snow. So you get any sort of winds that are warmer than the actual water, and you're going to get those little bursts of some, whiteout conditions in a small area, and it's hard to keep up with those roads. And the crazy thing is I was just talking this morning, we were talking about the American Birkebeiner and Hayward and how they've had to cancel so many times for snow shortages. And now that we're on this trend, do they move closer to a lake so that they can get that lake effect? Because it's the only guaranteed thing with these warming temperatures that will snow, right? So
just tell them to follow me around and they'll have snow because that's what happens to me. I'm starting to think it's my fault. So you said that we'll have winter coming. Will we have more warm bursts like this in your opinion? And again, I don't expect you to predict the future, but what's the data telling you? Like, can we expect more warm days? Or are we looking at a pretty good charge of winter here?
I'm going to say no more 60s until spring, at least. That was super unusual, super rare. I mean, we were 30 degrees above our average highs today. And we didn't just tap or break the records by a degree or two like we usually do.
Yeah.
This one blew it out of the water by 5 to 10 degrees. Woo, the entire state, not just certain places, every place. So that is not going to happen again. But we will see more storms pulling in that warmth and then slamming us with the snow behind it. I think that's what February has in store for us. So southern parts of the state climbing to above freezing, seeing some rain and freezing rain mixing and then flipping to snow, which the classic for us up north would be more snow.
I love talking to people that know more than me. That is fantastic. That's so great. One more quick question. This is general. And again, Brittany, I'm fascinated by people that follow the weather because I think it's got to be so hard to do what you do. You're predicting the future, basically.
Thank you. Finally, most people are like, oh, you can be wrong and still keep your job.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's kind of sassy. But how far ahead typically can you look or get a sense of what's coming? Do you 6 months out, a month out, or even a week out? I mean, what do you feel comfortable kind of predicting from time to time?
For an accurate forecast that I'm going to put my name stamped on and stand by, I'm going to go with 4 days. But what I can see and what I lean on, I would say a good week.
Okay.
It's pretty accurate. But once you go past that, these model runs are all over the place. They like to dump heavy snow in the forecast models. And so it's not really accurate when it comes down to what actually is going to happen. So that's how you get blown forecasts if you forecast too much snow too early.
Okay.
But
that makes sense.
I mean, you can look, as a climatologist, you can look at these spaghetti models. It kind of looks like spaghetti flying all over the place in the globe. And that is these oscillations that I was talking about. So El Nino, La Nina, it's the Arctic oscillation holding that polar vortex north, or what is it doing? So we kind of study that and see the trends to try our best to forecast the future, which we don't know either.
So is there anyone in your field that like says, oh, it's going to be a really hot summer, or, oh, it's going to be kind of a crummy summer? Does anybody know that this far ahead in terms of predictions? And not that it wouldn't change before we got there, but do you make those predictions or have those senses?
It would probably be just going off the El Nino and La Nina, the general overall pattern. But you can never predict this random heat wave that comes through. These are all system by system.
Here's what I'd like to do moving forward with the original odd couple that we are. I would like you somehow, if you can, to get me footage of you storm chasing, and we will make you a humongous star. You will be the star of Twister 3. Let's see what we can do. I think that would be fun to show that if you have something like that.
I agree.
That.
Let's do it.
All right, cool.
I'm in.
Just think about it. That's all I'm saying.
I've already thought about it. Let's plan it. Let's pick a date.
All right, Conrad, take a memo. We're doing it. Yes. All right. Hey, Brittany, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on the show. Short notice, and always great to get your insights. Much appreciated.
No problem. Love being on here. Thank you, Pete. You guys have a great night.
You're welcome. You too, Brittany. Thank you. Well, that doesn't, I mean, I guess I don't want to say I feel better, but are you excited about that?
Well, I guess we'll just see what Phil does. All right.
Puxatawny Phil. Yeah, we got a couple days. Should be interesting. All right. So, let's get back to the text line. Our question tonight, folks, is share with us, if you would, your Groundhog Day. What day would you, if you had to live a day over and over, what day from your life would it be? I picked kind of a random general day of hanging out at my grandma's cottage when I was a kid, running off the pier, eating hot dogs, resting, going back, doing it all over again in the North Woods of Wisconsin. Truly phenomenal memories. And I feel like if I had to get stuck for years, or however Bill Murray had to do that in Groundhog Day, that would be where I would want to go. We've had some great texts so far. Bridget from the 818 says, the day I could live over and over again was a family trip to Mackinac Island. The beautiful summer breeze, the delicious food, the magical bike ride around the perimeter of the island with the people I love the most in the world. I have been to Mackinac Island. I know exactly what Bridget is talking about. It is a... That's a great one, too. In fact, I might put a Mackinac Island in my list as well. It's a very magical place. Absolutely beautiful. They've shot movies there. That's how pretty it is. Kind of like Door County. Steady Eddie checks in from the 608. Is it too early to read a Steady Eddie text? I don't think so. Okay. Steady Eddie says, Pete, Brittany Merlot, she's my favorite weather person. Somehow I feel good even if she predicts snow and cold. My Groundhog Day is when I was a kid, I would spend all day at the Sun Prairie Sweet Corn Festival. Oh, that sounds good. The cooked and buttered corn was free. I would eat 7 or 8 or more cobs of sweet buttered and salted cobs, extremely delicious sweet corn. There were carnival rides. My favorites were the Ferris wheel and the Tilt-A-Whirl. I experienced the thrill of carnival games in the warm sunshine. I watched people. I ate cotton candy and hamburgers with no concerns about my weight or cholesterol. That must have been nice. For me, the joy of the corn festival is right up there with Christmas Eve. And that's what today is, Steady Eddie. Thursday night, the Christmas Eve of the week. That's a great memory. Thank you for sharing that, Steady Eddie. Very, very well done. So it's still, you still have time to get in on the fun, folks. What would you want to be your Groundhog Day? Pick a day from your past. If you had to live it over and over, what day would it be? 855-752-4842. When we come back, we'll have two really cool dudes who are doing their best to get the word out there about film by way of the Door County Film Festival, Kirk Krause and Chris Hopper. Join me next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. So we have some cold weather coming up. That's what I took away from our conversation with Brittany. I can live with that. She delivers the news nicely. I feel safe when Brittany tells me I'm going to be cold.
Just like Steady said, yeah.
Yeah, that's how good she is. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the 16th annual Door County Film Festival is right around the corner. It starts Friday, February 13th, and goes through the 15th. And here to talk more about it and filmmaking in general here in Northeast Wisconsin are the director of said festival, Chris Opper, and filmmaker and also working on the film festival, Kirk Krause. Hey, guys.
Hi there.
How are we
How's
doing?
It going?
Good.
Great.
So, Chris, I think you were on the show last year, and we talked about the film festival, and you look different. What happened?
If I look different, it's because my hair's growing out. It's gotten grayer than.
I thought maybe Kurt gave you a makeover or something, but you look good. Yeah, you look good, man. I just didn't recognize
beard's growing out a little bit more. I don't know.
I like it. Very Beat Generation kind of cool, trendy. I love it. Good to have you back, Chris. And Kurt as well, good to see you. You're no stranger to this show. So I had no idea you were working on the Door County Film Festival, but that's kind of fun. You got some free time for once?
Yeah, it's a blast. And I've attended the event over the years, and Chris had asked me just this past year to step on board and get involved. And so it's been fun. It's been awesome to help grow it. And so there's a few new things this year that I think folks are really going to like.
Oh, cool. Oh, we'll get into all that. That's fantastic. Did you give Kurt a signing bonus? I'm just curious.
We don't want to talk about that, actually.
Then you'll have to pay everyone,
it's
right?
Undisclosed.
All right, so let's start with you, Chris. Give us an overview of this year's film festival, the 16th annual Door County Film Festival. Pretty cool.
16th, yeah. It's amazing to think about. So this year, and one of the reasons that we brought Kurt on was that we knew we were going to be expanding. First of all, we did drop the short from our it used to be the Door County Short Film Festival.
I thought so. Okay.
And we were now taking on the name of Film Festival, because every year we keep getting feature films submitted, and we're showing more. And then this year we added Thursday night. So we knew that we needed another person like Kurt, who can handle the crowd like I do. The other people that are involved are instrumental all the way through, but when it comes to the festival themselves, then they have always admitted this. They're like, we don't really know what to do here. So yeah. At the festival, it's all about, you know, like the mixing with the other filmmakers and talking to people. So it's very helpful to have Kurt here, who has a background in filmmaking and film festivals.
Crowd control, so, right?
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, basically. Another me.
Really. Right. So is this, would you say your festival is kind of like a, like you guys have parties after all the films are done for the day? Do you model your film festival after anyone, or are you just kind of trial by fire and just moving it forward and doing your own thing?
A little bit of both. We always did kind of try to emulate what they were doing in Appleton with the Wildwood.
Okay.
That's kind of where I got my, like, you know, exposure to film festivals. Loved that one. Loved how they set it up. So that's a lot of what they do. And the other one that I go to every year and pick out ideas is Waiwega.
Okay.
And so I always feel like our festival is kind of a mishmash of both of those festivals.
That's kind of how you get there, right?
I don't think I'm going to upset them to tell them that I'm stealing from them, but
no, everything's derivative, right? That's great. And what about you, Kurt? You've been to your share of film festivals. What is there something that sets the Door County Film Festival apart that you've noticed so far?
There's a real sense of community and belonging, I think, among the filmmakers, and really an excitement every year. And it's been said to me over and over again how much people really enjoy this festival. And we're now at the Northern Sky Gold Theater. So
yeah,
the venue is like a second to none, just gorgeous place. The staff there is amazing, and it's really versatile. We're going to be having a filmmaker mixer kicking off Friday before going into the film screenings. And it has a lobby that's great for hosting. And then, of course, you have the theater itself, which is just amazing and perfect for this festival.
Is there, do you guys typically, is there a theme to each year's festival, or do you just take the films that you like and try to sell them that way? Or is there some type of undercurrent or thread, so to speak?
No, it's usually just every film gets judged on their own merit. And you know, basically when we're putting it together, we're not really looking at, you know, do we have enough documentaries? Do we have this or that? Or we don't go with the theme at all. And even like this year, it's on Valentine's Day. We're going to show a punk movie. So,
oh, yeah. Nice.
What's more romantic than that?
Sid and Nancy, maybe, right? that's cool. So when we're going to do a short, we got to do the news in just about a minute here, but I want to ask you when we come back about some of your films. And I know you, here's what I want you guys to think about. I want to have a brief conversation about Door County and all the filming that's going on there. There's a lot going on there. And also just we have about a minute before the break. I'd like to ask you, do you have an advantage holding a film festival in such a beautiful area where they choose to shoot movies because of the cinematic atmosphere?
It's looking that way. There are a lot of films coming here right now. And it's a beautiful place to shoot. So it's pretty easy to convince somebody to come here.
Yeah. Okay. Chris Opper is here and Kurt Krause. We'll talk more about the Door County Film Festival, the 16th annual, by the way. It's right around the corner. It starts Thursday, February 13th and runs through Saturday, February 15th. And this can't be right. The film festival package for $60. That's not bad. We'll talk more about that after the news. Civic Media's news team is going to keep you informed. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From the WRCE newsroom, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The latest in the federal funding freeze saga, Democratic lawmakers and nonprofits spoke out the loudest after the Trump administration sent a memo instructing federal agencies to pause payments on grants and loans. More than 20 states filed a lawsuit, and Wisconsin was one of them. The pause on payments would impact all kinds of agencies and programs, anything from law enforcement to Head Start. Yesterday, the White House confirmed to outlets that it was formally rescinding that memo. Yet afterward, reports said the administration still intended to carry out the funding freeze. Governments and agencies have had whiplash these last 2 days trying to figure out what comes next. Governor Tony Evers called it, quote, a disaster from the get-go, end quote. Meanwhile, two other big priorities for the Trump administration, immigration and tariffs. New data from the conservative-leaning Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce shows how business leaders feel about those issues. Here's Lisa Hale.
86% of Wisconsin business leaders support President Donald Trump's plan to impose tariffs on goods imported from China. As for the tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, only 44% of those surveyed support the 25% tariffs. And when asked how increasing tariffs would impact their businesses, 50% said it would have a negative effect. 26% said it would be positive, while 24% said it would have no impact. This same survey from WMC shows Wisconsin business leaders want to see immigration reform, with 89% saying the plan should start with securing the U.S. southern border. The respondents didn't want a complete stoppage of immigration. They overwhelmingly supported updating the nation's guest worker program to include increasing the number of visas for specialized workers and adding new visa options for high-demand workers to address Wisconsin's labor shortage.
That's Lisa Hale reporting, and I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddy Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story you can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothy Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly cloudy sky tonight, a low near 30, and more sun and in the mid-40s for tomorrow. Some clouds on Saturday, high upper 30s, with some snow showers Saturday night. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs upper 40s.
Right now it's 36.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss with Sandy Williams of the direction of our nation under President Donald Trump. Talk with Bob Amsterdam about the Ukrainian Orthodox Church.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Welcome back. So Pamela in Wisconsin Rapids says, Groundhog Day. We celebrated my mom, Caroline's birthday. Yes, she was born on Groundhog Day. Oh, that's kind of cool. So that's the day Pamela would live over and over. What a great answer. That kind of worked out perfectly, Pamela. Thank you for the text. You can still get in on the fun. What is your personal Groundhog Day? If you had to have one, what day in your life would you pick to live over and over? That is tonight's question. Let us know, and we'll read it on the radio. Right now, we've got couple of pretty cool dudes running a pretty cool film festival joining me now on the stream, Chris Opper and Kurt Krause. The Door County Film Festival takes place February 13th through the 15th. We kind of talked about this a little bit before the break, but in addition to Door County's cinematic beauty that is naturally there, you got all that, the limestone as you get up more towards the vacation towns, and you've got the peninsula and all that stuff. Why are people just finding it now, or is Door County doing more to kind of woo filmmakers?
That is a good question. So we actually, we were on a board of filmmakers talking about our craft and what we're doing at an event early last spring. And I went into it thinking I wasn't gonna know the other filmmakers, and there's this board of people that like, oh, there's like filmmaker like, and then now we're hearing about other productions that are coming into Door County, and I to be honest, I don't actually have an answer why now all of a sudden.
That's interesting. I kind of just stereotyped and assumed because you guys were tied into Door County that you knew everything about Door County. But that's interesting that, like, you there are probably films that are shot there that you don't know the other filmmakers or didn't even know they were there. That never even occurred to me just because it is kind of a condensed area. But either way, I think it's great because I could totally see why people would want to film movies there. It's so gorgeous. Chris, you have a film in the movie too, or you have a film in the festival. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that one's called Are We Listening? And that's the event that I was talking about that that we got. Rebecca Carlton did an art mosaic kind of thing where she put some ceramic birds together, and it filled this warehouse. It was like and each one of the birds represented the a percentage of the languages that are in the world. There are 7,000 languages in the world. And wow. So she was like, it kind of blew her mind, and she was like, so with all these languages, how do people communicate with each other? And you know, that kind of worked into the question that she keeps asking, are we listening? Are people listening to us? So she got all these people together. For us, it was filmmakers. There was another night of musicians and artists, and there were like 8 different groups that all got together. So, and I recorded all of the events. And so I put a movie together about that. And then, so we're going to show that on Friday night. And then, that kind of is the talking piece that we get to talk about how Rebecca put this thing together. And now all of a sudden we're meeting together as filmmakers. And it's spawning into a whole bunch of things happening all at once. And it all kind of came from this event that Rebecca put together.
It's so great when something takes a life of its own on like that. Kurt, you're a pretty busy actor in addition to helping out with the Door County Film Festival. Are you in any of the films that are showing, or what else have you got going on if you're not in any of the films in Door County?
I think I make a short appearance in Chris's documentary because I was also there with that panel of filmmakers. And nice. But otherwise, as far as I know.
Aren't you in Jacob Lefebvre's movie too?
Yeah. I make a
second.
I make like three seconds in a different one. But the quick side story on that one was we have a very talented filmmaker from Sturgeon Bay who is a recent graduate of UW Oshkosh. And he came to a different panel I was speaking on and introduced himself and invited me to come to set to meet all the college students who are working on his senior project. And it just happened that I was shooting a TV commercial like one city away from Oshkosh. So when we wrapped the commercial, I stopped by the bar they were shooting at and I started just meeting the students working on it. And pretty soon it's supposed to be, you know, a fun party scene at this bar. So pretty soon I'm just actually just drinking beer with these college students. And he asked me, he's like, do you want to be in the movie? And it's just for this kind of wide shot party scene. So anyway, that's what you're going to,
I'm assuming you didn't get a signing bonus for that then either. Probably.
I did not.
Maybe about the same amount of screen time as in my film though. So I hope you took a picture with that director too, because you got to make these keepsakes, right?
I think you got me typecasted for these bar flies and partiers because in the On Miracle, which was on Netflix for a number of years, that was my first speaking role in a film. And I was the guy at the bar whose friend gets punched out.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yes,
but it all started, though, with Godfather of Green Bay.
That's what everybody around the state is saying. You know who'd be great in this bar scene? get Kurt Krause on the blower. Well, it's good that it's nice that you're such a busy guy as an actor. So it's kind of cool that you can put your energies into this too, and that you have time to do that. I know we had, I had Kate Stapleton on recently to talk about her film, The Inner Sea. I know you've got, this movie Closure that's going to close ironically the film festival, or maybe not so ironically. What's that about?
That is actually about the closures of the 2-year campuses, in the UW system.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very good film. Aggravating because of the subject matter, but
terrible.
Really well done, and it's going to give a lot of people a lot of stuff to talk about.
That's the whole point of the film. I love that. Part of my favorite thing about film festivals is just talking about the movies after, even with people you don't know. You know, you bump into them or you see someone that you saw at a previous screening and you talk. Do you guys have a lot of Q&As and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So after every session of films, so like Thursday night, we'll bring the filmmakers up on stage, talk about their films. Everybody gets a chance to talk about their own movie, and then question and answer from the audience.
Excellent.
Friday night, we got the feature film. The directors will be there. And then all day Saturday is short films, and a lot of filmmakers will be there. After each session, we'll bring them up, and they'll get to talk.
That's so cool.
And Ken Broski is going to be there as well, talking about Closure.
Cool. My guests are Chris Opper and Kurt Krause, who are putting together the Door County Film Festival. It sounds great. It's February 13th through the 15th, Thursday through Sunday. $15 per session. I like how you guys have that kind of itemized, so to speak, are 4 tickets where you can get one free with a film festival package for $60. Where can people go to buy tickets if they're interested in coming by?
That is all done through northernskytheater.com.
Oh, okay.
They're handling all the ticket sales.
Excellent. All right. So I've had some other Northeast Wisconsin guys who I love, Dan Davies and Craig Knitt and JB Thompson, who I call the guy behind the guy because he's introduced me to a lot of people.
We lost our audio.
Can you hear me?
We'll get it back though.
Oh,
okay. I think you can hear us, but we can't hear you.
I can hear you guys. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll try to.
It'll be a minute.
Yeah.
All right. Second.
We'll try to get these guys back on, but I was saying that.
All right. There we go.
Can you hear me? Okay. Perfect. I was just saying there's
sorry about that.
There's some other Northeast Wisconsin filmmakers who seem to stay very busy. Dan Davies, Craig Knitt, and JB Thompson. Did you guys lose me again? Okay.
we lost you again.
We can call you if it's easier, let us know and we'll just call you guys. I don't know. I hope you're not using the same.
They can't hear you when you say that.
I was just saying I hope I was kind of saying that to you. I hope they're not using that PA for the question and answer sessions at the movies.
Back feed.
I'm making a call.
We unplug our headphones. We can still hear on the.
All right.
No, we can't. That's the problem.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's hold. Why don't we mute them until they figure it out, Conrad? And we can talk.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of let them know what's going on though. Conrad alerted me to. We're gonna just do kind of a. Actually, I have their website open, so I want to find this out anyway. I've had Dan Davies, Craig Knitt, and JB Thompson have been on the show. They make films here in Northeast Wisconsin as well. They have a film in the Door County Film Festival called Dermageddon the Musical, which I am very, very curious about. Oh, I'm sorry, The Rise of Dermageddon the Musical. And it's directed by JB Thompson and Dan Davies. JB Thompson, Conrad, you know JB, the guy behind the guy.
The guy behind the guy.
He sets us up with guests. He's introduced me to a lot of fun people. Can you guys, if you're listening, can you hear me now? Oh, he wants to call.
Yes,
You working that out?
I put the number so they could see it.
Oh, you did. Okay, perfect. So those guys are going to call in and we'll continue the interview. I want to ask him about this because I find this, I'm kind of intrigued by the rise of Dermageddon. And I know Dan has made a movie about Ed Gein. He seems to do some really different kind of cool things. So I'm anxious to talk to those guys about that. But the Door County Film Festival takes place February 13th through the 15th, Thursday through Saturday. It's $15 per session. And in a session, you get different films. It's not just one film, I believe, if I'm getting that right. And there's a package available for $60. It's at the Gould Theater on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Door County. That is the, I think that's also the Northern Sky Theater. But we'll get these guys on the phone. Conrad's lining it up. And we'll continue our talk about the Door County Film Festival. We did have Kate Stapleton on, who made a film called The Inner Sea about her pregnancy that she went through and had to give up the baby at the end of it. That looked like a really cool documentary. Closure sounds like a good documentary. There's another film, a filmmaker named Antonio Polk, who we had on this show, who talked about his film, but he has a different one at the Door County Film Festival. It's called Detained, and it plays on Saturday, February 15th. So Antonio was a great guest, and it was fun to have him and his wife here in the studio. And do we have those guys, Conrad?
They actually are joining over StreamYard with their phone. So,
oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, look at this. I've got four guests. Hey guys, are you guys back? All right.
We're back.
Way to stick with it, man. That has some serious independent filmmaking skills. Never saying die and making sure you get your day. I was in the process of asking you about JB Thompson and what's that? Can you hear us? Okay.
Yep,
JB Thompson, yep. Dan Davies, and Craig Knitt made the film The Rise of Dermageddon. Tell me about The Rise of Dermageddon. What can people expect if they go see that film? A musical.
It's a musical about...
You
go.
I don't want to give too much away, but... yeah, within it you have a small town, you have a mayor who's making power moves, and this town is going under, you know, right and left, you know, businesses are closing and whatnot, and the hero they all need to stand up and take back this town is a guy who's been so far removed from his days as a hero, hometown hero quarterback, and now he's he spends his days in the bar. He's drunk on the pool table when the movie starts, and so they're trying to get him back on his feet and be the man he's supposed to be, while the zombie deer are rising to power. So I think that's fair without getting too much away.
Yeah. That must have been interesting to shoot. I can't wait. That's a good one. I can't wait to see that too. You've got a movie about Sasquatches. Let's do a short break and we'll come back. We'll have a couple more minutes with Chris Hopper and Kurt Kraus. Nice enough to join us here tonight on Nightlight and talk about their really cool film festival, the Door County Film Festival. We'll be right back. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest yield savings accounts at an online bank. Just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. We are about to close up shop here, spending a few more minutes with Kurt Krause and Chris Opper. They are joining us from, are you guys in Door County right now?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Fish Creek.
Oh, I love it. I love Door County so much. It's like one of my favorite places in the world to go. We always look for the good deals in the spring and then the good deals in the summer, and they're much easier to find in the spring. Like, you could get really good deals on hotels in the, like in February and March, there's nothing going on. But it's fun in the summer, too, if you don't mind paying a little extra.
Which is why you start a film festival in February, by the way.
There you go. Do you have to reach out to filmmakers and kind of chase these films down? It's your 16th year. I would assume you have some notoriety. Do people know about you and seek you out, or do you have to kind of chase down the filmmakers, or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of both. We're on Film Freeway, and we get like 50 to 100 submissions every year. This year it was somewhere around like 60, I think.
Oh, nice.
But I also, now we go to film fests, and when we see something we like, we go and find the filmmaker and be like, hey, can we show your movie?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we got probably about four this year came from going to film festivals. And the same thing with Green Blah. Went to the Green Blob premiere and went to them and pretty much begged them, can we show your movie?
Nice. Hopefully I'll see you guys this year at the UW Film Festival, Wisconsin Film Festival in Madison. That's always a great time, and I'm down there for a few days. So if you guys are down there, you'll have to say hello.
I haven't made it to that one yet. That's I need to.
It's a really good festival. Great venues, and the guys that pick the films are just big time film buffs. It's a really good, really solid festival. Really quickly before we let you go, Antonio Polk was on the show, and so was Craig Kinnett, and I got my movies mixed up. Craig had nothing to do with, or maybe not nothing, but isn't credited on your list with The Rise of Deermageddon, which I can't stop smiling every time I say that title.
Craig acts in the movie.
Oh, he does. Okay.
He wasn't. I don't think he was a part of the production team. He might have been, but.
But Antonio has a film, and Craig has a film too. They've both been on the show. What can we expect from their films? Are they comedies, or what are we looking at there?
Craig Knitz is a comedy. He plays the devil, which will put you in the right frame of mind there.
Sure.
And then Antonio's film is called Detained, and it's a very gripping suspense short film. I believe they filmed that in Chicago, and when he'd sent it in, it was like right off the bat, liked it. It has a twist in it that I think audiences are really going to like.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, listen, guys, thank you for your time tonight. Thanks so much for being part of the show, and best of luck with the film festival. They're so much fun. I love the energy of film festivals, and I applaud you guys for, using Door County as your backdrop. You can't go wrong there. So congrats and break Absolutely. A leg.
Thank you. Thanks. And thanks for hanging with us with the technical difficulties.
It happens. Just don't use that same sound system for the Q&As. All right.
No, going in the trash.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
It's
Chris Opper and Kurt Krause. I would like to also thank Rick Overton, who was on the show helping us talk about Groundhog Day, which he was in. That was a lot of fun. And Brittany Merlot, thank you for all your texts. Conrad, we need a little bit of a little more Groundhog Day, I think, before we shut this thing down tonight. Yeah. So this is a scene from earlier in the movie, but we can't seem to remember what we clipped. So I don't know how else to introduce it, except that people will probably... clip.
I think it's when he's setting up, to introduce the groundhog to the cameras.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, let's hear it. Here's a little something from Groundhog Day, folks. It's right around the corner.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Groundhog Day used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you. You got a problem with what I'm saying, Larry? Untie your tongue and you come out here and talk, huh? Am I upsetting you, princess? You know, you want a prediction about the weather. You're asking the wrong Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's gonna be cold, it's gonna be gray, and it's gonna last you for the rest of your life.
I'm just saying, if you haven't seen Groundhog Day, you got to check it out. And it's also going to be featured on this week's New Wisco Weekend episode with host Lisa Hale. That was my classic movie pick of the week. Those are always fun to make. Conrad, you got a feature this week?
I do. It's about an all-inclusive pro workout place in Green Bay called Grit 920.
What does that mean?
All-inclusive. So all abilities, and they were featured on Mino and the Mayor a couple weeks ago. And I just put the pieces together to make a nice 3-minute story for it. So it'll be a great feature.
All right. I'm supposed to go to the gym tonight, but we'll see what happens. I tend to wimp out.
This is home. You go earlier in the day, you get it done, and then you don't think about it anymore after that.
It must be nice to have your whole life figured out so perfectly. You were telling me about Justin Tucker. What is the deal? He's pulling a Deshaun Watson.
Yes, six different cases that
from
came
massage
up.
Parlors.
Yeah.
That we know of. Like they came forward or what? Like, what do these guys think is going to happen? You harass enough people,
Or you offer them enough money to keep quiet, but then they're like, I can't deal with this on my mind anymore. So they say something then finally.
Here's an idea. Go home and be with your wife. Justin Tucker.
He has two kids, I believe. And he is, it's unbelievable.
It's awful. And whatever. I don't know what the guy's deal is, but yeah, whatever. I just feel like I shouldn't even go there. It's terrible. It's like you can't even. Now I feel weird going into a massage parlor.
Yeah.
I don't go to massage parlors. We're doing this all again tomorrow night, folks. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thanks for your texts. We will be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, John Dietrich joins us, Journal Sentinel investigative reporter, with his latest piece on gun violence in Wisconsin. It's important. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. National Transportation Safety Board investigators have recovered critical evidence in Wednesday night's mid-air collision between an American Airlines jetliner and a U.S. Army helicopter at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport.
What are commonly called the black boxes, which are not actually black at all and are a bright orange color to make them easy to find, have now been recovered from the American Airlines regional jet. They comprise of the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder, which could indicate if the pilots ever saw the Black Hawk helicopter before it slammed into them. The Black Hawk also had a form of a flight recorder on board.
ABC's Alex Stone. President Trump working DEI into the mix.
Trump is doubling down on these claims that diversity, equity, and inclusion programs are to blame for this tragedy, saying it's, quote, because I have common sense. He's presented no evidence, and this investigation is only just beginning.
ABC's Mary Bruce. This is ABC News. New details in the New Year's crash of an experimental aircraft into